This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Although H is my guy, I have to say, he's not great at FIFA. I'm sorry, H. I smoked him too many times for him to claim he's good at FIFA. I'm sorry, but that's my guy.
Hello and welcome to Midnight Chats, a podcast of informal interviews with musicians we love, posted weekly at midnight to suit these very casual conversations. This week's episode is hosted by me, Stuart Stubbs, the editor of Loud and Quiet magazine. On tonight's show is West London rapper AJ Tracy, who I met up with at the end of May of this year, 2022, and I really enjoyed myself talking to him. We spent about an hour chatting. It's pretty much all there in this conversation. Didn't feel the need to cut much of it out. I trimmed back a little bit where we went down a little bit of a football rabbit hole, but there's still a lot of football chat in this one. That's because AJ Tracy, whose real name is Shay, he is a massive fan of Tottenham Hotspur. So we talk a bit about that. We talk a bit about his mum, who is the person that named him Shay after Che Guevara. She comes out of this episode very well. She sounds like an incredible woman. We talk about his most recent album, Flu Game, that came out in 2021. And one thing that we mention and explain maybe a little bit, but on listening back maybe not, it's not fully clear, is the reference of that name. The name of the album is Flu Game, and it's named after a particularly legendary basketball match between the Chicago Bulls and Utah Jazz in 1997, where Michael Jordan got food poisoning, but he still played and essentially won the game for the Chicago Bulls. It's a legendary game. If you've watched the documentary The Last Dance, which we also talk about a little bit in this episode, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you don't, and it's a bit unclear because we kind of dive into that subject and don't fully explain it, that is why the album is called Flu Game. As I say, it came out last year. It's AJ Tracy's second album. He's a completely DIY artist, which is nuts when you go and look at some of his videos. I've linked to some of those below this episode, including his most recent single, Reasonable. What else do I need to clear up? Two other things, I think. The artist that we talk about, Murakami, is a Japanese artist called Takashi Murakami. I've linked to the exhibition that Shay talks about that he went to in New York. He's a massive fan of Murakami's work. And he also mentions at other points in our conversation, Virgil. That is Virgil Abloh, the fashion designer and founder of Off-White, who became the artistic director of Louis Vuitton's menswear collection, the first African-American to do so. Sadly, passed away last year. That is the Virgil that Shay refers to. He was a friend of his, so I just wanted to clear that up because we don't do it in the conversation. I think that is as much as I need to clear up. It's very hot here in London at the moment. I'm in a sealed room to try and get this recording sounding okay, so I'm going to stop. This is number 118, Midnight Chats with AJ Tracy. Thank you very much for listening.
So how are you, Dimmer? How's your week been?
Yeah, good, man. Chilling. And was enjoying the weather until today. I just had a gym installed at my house. I saved up my money and built a gym in my back garden. So I've been getting in the gym now, yeah.
Okay.
So that's my new venture.
what equipment you got in there?
I'm gonna start sounding like I'm flexing now. I'm not flexing at all. I genuinely saved up to get this. Like it's not off the cuff, but basically I made the gym because the reason why I had to save for it is because I wanted it to be like insulated with an aircon in there so that it's fully functional, has Wi-Fi.
So when you say it's in your garden, it's not like
it's our house. It's like a separate building.
Okay,
in the garden.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's quite big because my garden, luckily, when I bought the house off the old people, they had purchased the people adjacent, like a third of their garden.
Yeah.
So their garden's massive.
Okay.
And I was like, great. It was in a rubbish state. It was horrible. But I like fixed the grass, got the green fingers out, the shears out, you know what I'm saying? Fixed everything. But yeah, I got all the equipment, man. Rowing machine, treadmill, bike, leg curl, leg extensions, rope machine, bench press, like everything. You know what I'm saying?
You got it all?
Got it all, bro. Got it all. Ready to get fit, hopefully.
Before that, were you like a member of a gym?
I was a member of a gym before I moved into my new house.
Okay. Right.
When I lived in Chelsea in a flat, I was a member of a gym, but yeah, obviously now it's like there's no gyms around. So
when you like build a gym in your garden, do you need someone to do that?
Yeah, of course.
Like you don't just do that yourself?
No, of course not. I contacted the you know what I'm saying, the correct people and made them do it professionally. It did cost a lot, but also it's kind of an investment because if I do choose to sell my house, it's like, cool, it's got a gym, like an up-to-date 2022 brand new spanking gym. So like, it adds value to the house.
And think how much you're going to save in that gym membership.
Oh, of course. And even just the motivation, you know, being able to wake up and go downstairs and work out as opposed to, oh, I have to get in a car, petrol, drive, I can just go in and no one can disturb me. So it's actually really good. Yeah.
You're going to put a pool in next?
No pool. They actually, when I was fixing the garden, the people who are like landscaping said, we can put a pool here if you want. And I was like, I live in the UK. I'll get to use the pool like 2 weeks out of the year. It's not even worth it, honestly.
Yeah, that needs to be inside as well.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Essentially. Nice. Yeah. Nice. So has that been your main thing this week?
Yeah, that's it, the gym right now. But I'm going to start, I do Twitch, like gaming. So I've been like setting up my man cave, preparing it for when I'm ready to stream, which is almost done. I'd say it's like 85% done.
Sure.
Just need to get the guy to come in, the handyman, to fix the sofa in there and put the TV up on the wall, and then I'm ready to go and I'll be streaming again. So that's cool. I've just been trying to sort out everything aside from music, because the music's okay right now. I'm kind of ready to go with my music, so I'm just sorting out all that extracurricular things.
All that extra stuff.
Exactly.
I knew that you were a big gamer. This is something that's totally out of my comfort zone. Okay, really, okay. Right? But so what games do you play? And what's your setup? Do you have like the chair and
all of that stuff? To my missus's bane, she really like, you know what it is? It's that I like to delegate time to game, like actual put time aside to game. So I'll be like, cool, we'll go on date night, and that's our evening. Then the next day for half the day, I'm gaming. Like that's me now.
So you get mainly at nighttime gaming.
It's half. It depends. Like if my missus isn't around, nighttime I'm gaming all night. I'm talking like until 4 a.m. So I'm gaming.
Okay,
but if she's around, then I don't like to, like, you know, not spend time with her and waste the evening gaming. So it'll be 50-50, I'd say.
Sure.
Yeah. But daytime gaming is not really a go because, you know, I have things to do. I have a job. So I can't always do it. But yeah, I love gaming, man. My setup is like a dark room. I've got a neon that says AJ Tracy. I've got like my little bear bricks and like collectible figures on the wall. I've got some like Tottenham memorabilia, sure, some England memorabilia, and some other shirts. I've got my setup is just like a metal desk. And then I have a curved monitor on it. And then I have a vertical monitor as well for Discord. And like when I check my NFTs and my stocks and stuff. And then, yeah, man, I got speakers set up. Like obviously I'm a musician, I have to have speakers.
Yeah.
Headset, the whole malarkey. And my PC actually is a beast. It's a super beast. Like it's crazy. It's worth like 20K. I didn't buy it though. It was a gift from Call of Duty actually.
This is serious setup. No, I thought you were going to say, like, I've got two controllers.
Nah. A Nintendo Switch.
Switch.
Nah. I'm serious on the gaming. I play, like, FIFA.
Is that your main thing?
FIFA, one of my main things, yeah. FIFA, Call of Duty, Fortnite, Valorant, loads of different games. So I'm in there, man. GTA, actually. I love GTA.
Okay.
I love GTA.
And you stream it on Switch? On Twitch, yeah.
I used to, like, a year ago, and I took a break. Like, during COVID, I was streaming, like, 2-3 times a week. But because I moved houses and I had to reset up all my stuff and my house had loads of building works to do on it, I couldn't stream. But now I'm nearly ready. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, your fans play against you, right?
Yeah, I get all the fans in. I'll like go on my Instagram or whatever on Twitter and say, yo, if anyone wants to jump in the lobby, 7 p.m, like I'll be on. That's my gamer tag, and people just join and like we'll just be in there having fun. So yeah.
That's so cool, man. That's
sick. It's actually sick, genuinely. I'll be in GTA and like you can have obviously like tens and tens of people in there and they'll all come to my house. Like I have a house in GTA and you can like go in the cinema and everyone can watch the same thing on the screen. You can like gamble with your friends and stuff. Like yeah, it's fun. It's good fun.
Is that how you know Dele Alli? Because he's a big gamer, right?
that's not how I know him, but he is a big gamer as well, yeah.
That's his thing.
He might be better than me at FIFA. I've seen that he's nice on FIFA. I've never played against him. But yeah, he's a big gamer as well, man. And so is, I know Reece James likes the game as well. I'll be honest, I feel like it's just a mutual thing. All the footballers and rappers are just gamers.
Yeah.
Like DBE, Young Ads and them, they're big gamers. P Money's a massive gamer. Youngin, big gamer. Avelino. H, although H is my guy, I have to say, he's not great at FIFA. I'm sorry, H. I smoked him too many times for him to claim he's good at FIFA. I'm sorry, but that's my guy.
who do you play at FIFA then? What's your team?
My team.
Do you just stick with...
I don't pick Tottenham, I'll be honest. I don't pick Tottenham. Right, I play Ultimate Team. So you know when you pick you make your own team. Yeah. But currently, because I've got to the end of FIFA and like I've got all the best cards and stuff, I've got Pele and all these people. So what I do instead is I've made a past and present Tottenham team. So I got like Bale in there, Modric, Ginola, et cetera. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I've done now.
Are there any game? Okay, let's quickly. You mentioned you've got like in there. You've got some memorabilia.
Yeah.
What have you got? Can you tell me?
I've got an NME award, which is like a middle finger, like this.
Yeah.
I've got that, which I love.
I think it's
really cool. My mum loves that one. It's very rock starish.
Did you get that this year?
I got it 2020. I can't remember. The years have all merged, yeah, but it was for Labrador. It was for best song Labrador signed. So I got that. I've got, surprisingly, actually, I've never had a number one single, but I've got a number one chart, whatever thing, because I was on a song with all these massive artists who are way bigger than me. And it was just like a super no-brainer, easy number one. But the thing is, it was for Cherry.
What song was it?
During COVID. Was it Times Like These, like a cover?
Okay, yeah.
And it was like Dua Lipa, Sean Paul, loads of like massive people. And I was just little AJ Tracy was on the track. And they were all singing and I just rapped like an 8-bar.
So you got that trophy that's like the two arrows, the one in the middle? Yeah,
exactly. I got that. And then I've got so many plaques. That's not even a flex. Like I haven't ordered them. I can't fit them in my house. So I just haven't ordered them, genuinely.
Yeah. Put them in the gym.
There's not enough room. I'm not even joking. There's actually no room. There's like, I think I need to order like 30 something plaques, which is just not going to fit anywhere.
Okay.
And they're expensive as well.
Yeah. So how much is a plaque?
I think 190.
Jeez.
190. But if you think about it, it's like 190 is for me. And then my manager's going to want one.
Yeah.
And then the producer wants one, obviously. And then everyone else, like the mixer master and the engineer wants one. And then like, you know what I'm saying? Then my friends are going to be like, yo, let me get one. So it's not really 190. It's like, let's call it 500 per certification.
Yeah.
And then you get the silvers, that's 500. Then you get the golds. Then if hopefully it goes platinum. Labrador's double platinum, about to be triple. So it's just like, I'm not ordering all those packs. I'm not doing it. I might just order like one of my favorite each and just not tell anyone and just like put them in my personal gaming space. That's it. Exactly. But yeah, I got those. Loads of random little bits. I got like a basketball from Virgil. Virgil sent me a basketball because of flu game before he passed. Rest in peace. I got a basketball from Tiffany. Just random, really random stuff. Murakami, loads of Murakami stuff.
Yeah, I'm, you're a Murakami fan.
Massive fan of Murakami. Yeah. I'm really into like Japanese art. So I got just loads of artwork. Tons of artwork, like too much for the wall.
Yeah.
So yeah, bro, that's basically it.
What's the Tottenham memorabilia you got?
I have a shirt from Kane. That says to AJ, you know what I'm saying? Thanks for your support. You know what I'm saying?
Sick.
Love Kane, I got that, which is sick. I got, not Tottenham memorabilia, but I got a Reece James England shirt.
Okay.
Which is fire. And he got the whole team to sign it for me.
Nice.
So that's a sick one as well. I've actually got a Benzema shirt. A current one.
What?
Yeah.
How'd you get that?
Actually, I can't, I'm not allowed to say.
Right.
Yeah, but very, very nice gift.
that is a great gift.
I got a Tottenham shirt, which was signed by the whole team the year that we was in the Champions League final.
Yep.
So I got like Moussa Dembele and all them people in there, which is fire. I got loads, actually. I got a shirt I got the other day. I went to the Hall of Fame induction with the Premier League, and I've got Vieira's signature on the shirt with Shearer's, Ian Wright's and companies on one shirt, which is quite cool.
That's cool. That's rare. Cool.
Yeah, it's rare.
That's a rare bunch of...
Those, exactly that.
That's not on any other shirt.
No, literally. That's just one of a kind. So I got that. It's got my name on it as well, which is fire. And I, actually, you know what I got for my birthday the other day? my mum and all my family, everyone like chipped in together and got me. It was really hard to find. They got me a Lucas shirt, Lucas Moura shirt, yeah, from when he scored the hat trick. It's not the one he wore, but it's that shirt, you know what I'm saying? And they got Lucas to sign it. So nice. That's a great present, I'm not going to lie. For a Spurs fan, like, that's amazing.
Jesus. You got it all. This sounds like the best like man cave, really.
No, the man cave is serious, I'm not going to lie. I'm just missing. There's two shirts I really want. I need an AC Milan Kaká shirt.
Yeah.
I need that. That's like, he's one of my favourite players.
I used to have an AC Milan shirt when I was a kid. That was like...
They're the classic.
Yeah, the Opal.
Yeah, hard, hard.
I got my name on the
back.
That's
the best one.
Yeah, that's the best
one. That's the best one. Yeah,
for sure.
That's the best one.
For sure. And I loved it because when I was like... We were just talking just before we started, but yeah, as an Everton fan,
yeah, yeah,
you know, it was actually really, when I was a kid, it was really hard to get an Everton shirt.
Was it? Yeah,
yeah, really hard. Like, I'm from Essex.
Oh yeah, of course. So to get it down here,
was impossible.
Impossible.
But I managed to get this AC Milan shirt, and I felt it was the coolest thing ever. But it didn't quite fit me. It wasn't quite right.
Yeah, yeah, it happens.
It too
small
or
too big?
It's too small as well.
If it was too big, it's all right. But too big, yeah, too small is, yeah, it's peak.
Yeah, it wasn't so good, but. I loved that shirt. I used to love all of those shirts. I used to like collecting those shirts.
They were classy,
it sounds like,
man.
You still do.
Yeah, I still do. They were really classy. I feel like the new shirts are cool, you know what I'm saying? But the old shirts are like unbeatable, bro.
The classics.
They're so nice. Yeah, they're so nice.
Yeah.
The sharps, the auto glass, all of them, like, they're all hard, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Obviously, I would never put a Chelsea shirt in my house. But you know what? Disclaimer, actually, if Reece James gave me his shirt, I would put that in my house because he's my friend.
Sure.
But, in general, I would have put Chelsea
in general
shirt.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's, I think that's a good, you've got to draw the line somewhere. Yeah.
And you know what, Arsenal shirt, if it was a personal Henri shirt from Henri, I'll put it in my house.
Yeah.
Apart from that, it's not happening.
It's
there's
not
no
coming.
Other impossible. Yeah.
So with the gaming, is there any game, like, are there any games you like to play? You might not want to answer this. Are there any that are like that
nerdy
you don't tell people about because they're like, actually that's not, it's not cool.
Do you know what, yeah, the only one is League of Legends. Yeah, I play League of Legends. I don't know if you know what that is.
No, what is that?
It's a massive game. Yeah, like, but it's not that massive in the UK, but it's massive in general. It's like, it's more of a Korean game. Koreans play it and it's extremely complicated. Like, it's not, but it is. To play at a high level is very complicated. You could obviously just jump in and play, but yeah, I play that. It's basically a game where it's like a board and you have to basically just defend your base. And you can't let them advance on your base. And if they destroy your base, you lose. But your character has loads of different moves and it gets complicated because, like, the character you pick might counteract the character I pick and I can't really beat you. But then I'll make my teammate pick someone who counteracts you. You'll make your teammate pick someone who counteracts him. And it just becomes very complicated.
Right.
So, yeah, it's basically like that. And it's all the nerdy stuff. You kill dragons, you get special bonuses and power-ups and blah, blah, blah. So that's what I play a lot of the time. Like, every other day at least. And
nice.
Each game is like 20 to 45 minutes. So you got to have patience.
Okay.
Many a times I have rage quit and turned off my PC. Yes, 100 times.
What does the... and so when you're on Twitch, when you're streaming it, how many people are watching that?
I don't remember how many views I used to get, but it was quite a lot, actually. It was a lot. Like, I was surprised how many people were interested in watching me play games. Because even when I wasn't playing games, even if I'm just talking, there'll be a couple thousand people in there just chilling.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I really appreciate because I feel like my fan base is very rare nowadays to have... like a solid base, like for your fan base, like a cult following, because me, I built it from like pirate radio and showcasing who I am and, you know, getting into politics and talking about inequality and loads of different things. So I've got this pot of people who just really rock with me as a person,
yeah,
which I really appreciate, because nowadays it's like with TikTok and stuff, I have nothing against TikTok. I think it's a really cool platform and like I'm trying to learn how to use it. I'm a bit old for it, but I'm trying. But I feel like with TikTok, everything's quite flash in the pan.
Yeah,
like, you know, if people just want microwave meals, so to speak, like they want it ready right now, bing, consume it, done with it, you know what I'm saying? Which is not kind of, that's not how I operate. I'd rather give you something long lasting and put like a single out, for example, and work it for a while.
Sure.
And have it everywhere and have you hear it wherever and you digest it rather than take this in, here's the next one. I'm not really on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get into music to do that. So
yeah,
I would say with my fan base, I'm really grateful because when I go on Twitch, they're just there for the ride, man. They're just here to hear what I've said, which is cool.
Yeah.
I really genuinely appreciate it. So
is it true that you start rapping at six, age of six?
I did.
That's a true fact.
That's actually a fact. And the thing is, six as well is like me rounding up, because you're younger than that. I used to try and put rhymes together, but obviously you can't really formulate a rhyme scheme before six. You know what I'm saying? You probably can, but it's not going to be whatever. So my dad used to just help me write in rhymes from like four or five. But six is when I was actually writing, you know, coherent bars and spitting them. So yeah.
Because your dad was a rapper, right?
He was a rapper, yeah, he was.
Would that have been the first time you heard like rap music or someone rapping? Would that have been your dad?
No, it was actually from my mum, because my mum was a DJ.
She was a jungle DJ?
Yeah, she was a jungle DJ. So she used to play like jungle, house, like old school NWA, all of that stuff. She was really cool. So she introduced me to rap. I think the first couple rap records I heard were like, I don't know in which order, but LL Cool J was one of them for sure. It was no British rap. Oh, actually, Skinny Man. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was actually Skinny Man. It was LL Cool J, Skinny Man, Mobb Deep. And then I used to listen to a lot of Michael Jackson and James Brown as well. Those are like the first couple rotations, because my mom had all the vinyls and I used to just put them on the deck and play them.
Yeah.
And she used to get pissed because obviously they're really expensive Technic decks and I was just like scratching the shit out of records and that. I'm sure her Thriller record, I've, you know, totaled it.
Absolutely worthless.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Oh, bro, I feel sorry for her for that. But at least she's got an NWA record, like the first edition, unopened. And I didn't touch it. I knew from the plastic I'm not meant to touch that. So I just left it.
She's got it sealed?
Yeah. She has two. She bought one to use one to keep. Yeah. So
does she still DJ now?
She, for fun, I guess, at home, but yeah. Not like, obviously not in public out. And that. But yeah, she loves it. She loves it. And she's good. She's actually good. She can scratch, mix, everything. So sick.
That is cool.
But yeah, my dad wasn't the main influence, but yeah, he's the first person I guess I saw actually penning down bars and like the process behind writing lyrics.
Mm.
He would be the first person, yeah, for sure. And my uncle used to rap with him. They all had like a rap group. So yeah, I guess.
At what point did it get like start to get more serious for you? Like, how old were you by the
I wanted to take music seriously?
Kind of when you were like, yeah. At what point did it kind of step up a little?
Cool.
Bit?
There's two different points in my life. One is when I actually started taking music seriously, and one is when I wanted to take it seriously. So when I wanted to take it seriously, it was like year 10. So I guess I'm like 15, yeah. Around 15, I think. I wanted to take it seriously around then, but also, not trying to give you a sob story, bro. But obviously, I grew up kind of broke, you know what I'm saying, and like single parent and stuff, so I understood that for me to chase my dreams was a little bit selfish, because I have a little brother and my mom obviously need money. I need to get a job, really. So it kind of like my morality tore me from like focusing on music, you know what I'm saying. That, and on top of that, it was like I wanted to be a lawyer, and in my head I'm like, I can definitely be a lawyer. I know I can. I'm literate enough, I'm smart enough, I love arguing, like surely I can do that. I was great at history, you know what I'm saying, history and English were my two favorites, so that was what I was going for. But then it's sad because I have ADHD really bad, and my, just me messing around and being really fidgety. I wouldn't say I was a bad kid, but I used to, you know, throw pencils and just squirt paint, just do like childish things.
Yeah.
I never hurt anyone, but doing that stuff kind of got me in a lot of trouble in school. And then I used to be late to school a lot. And, you know, my mom used to always say to me, look, like, because she used to get me up on time and send me out the door. So it's not her fault. I used to just, you know, mess around on the way to school, be late, go Tesco's, whatever. So because of that, she was like, come on, like, you need to go on time because I'm going to get in trouble for this. Like, it's not you who they're going to look at. They're going to say it's your mum who's not, you know what I'm saying? Which is true. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't her fault. So I kind of tried my hardest. But yeah, got internally excluded. You know what that is, right?
Yeah.
Cool, got internally excluded, all of that stuff. And it was looking like I was going to get permanently excluded. But what I used to always do is, which used to really annoy the teachers, I would like mess around, get on report, get in more trouble. When it gets to like the final thing, I'll be an angel.
And
they have to take me off report. And the only way to kick me out is to put me back on report. So I just keep rinsing and repeating, basically. But yeah, because of all of that, I kind of put the music to the side. I wanted to go to the sixth form in Holland Park and they didn't let me in because obviously my grades weren't good enough, which is really sad because they made me take the low, you know, in English, you can take the low exam or the higher exam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In my original writings and my like Shakespeare and stuff, I got like A stars and A's, but they made me take the lower exam because of my behavior, which is really sad. But I took it. I got full marks, obviously. Everyone, the whole school knew I was going to get full marks. So I got full marks. And then I said to my teacher, like, my mum said, like, why do you do this? Because if you knew he was going to get full marks, why not give him the higher paper?
Yeah.
Because full marks on the lower paper is a C. But, you know, even if I got low marks on the higher paper, I'd still get a C. So, like, you might as well give him the chance to, you know what I'm saying? They were like, oh, school policy is behavior, blah, blah, blah. Which I personally think is a really bad way to teach kids.
They were just punishing you.
Basically punishing me with my future.
Yeah.
See, it's crazy.
To make a point.
Exactly.
Just to make a point.
And what's worse is if they had a nurse in the school who, like, was like, cool, so he's obviously got ADHD, like, I'm going to treat him as such, it would have been fine. You know what I'm saying? That's how it should be. Pastoral care and whatnot, but the school was not great at that.
Was this at a time like did they know that was the case at that point?
They knew that was the case. They knew 100%. They knew. Honestly knew. They knew. And like a lot of my teachers were saying to like we call it the leadership group. So like the heads of years and the whatever, the head teachers and stuff, they were saying, a lot of my really nice teachers, my RE teacher, my history teacher and my English teacher, I love them to bits. They were really nice to me. And they used to go and say to the higher ups, like, yo, he clearly needs some help with like concentrating and he gets very easily distracted, but his work is great. Mm-hmm. If you look at his work's great, but like he just gets distracted and they were just like, we don't care. So here's what it is, isn't it? Here's what it is. But I think those teachers there can be happy that they played a part in me being successful, because they kind of like motivated me that there's people that care even when everyone else doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Everyone else can, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but that's the point when I wanted to take music seriously but didn't. And then when I did take it seriously is when I was in uni doing criminology. And I didn't get into the uni I wanted to get into, didn't get into the college I wanted to get into, but I just kept going because I was like, I need to do something for my mum, you know what I'm saying? I just kept trying. And I got into London Met, big up everyone who goes there. And education's better than not having one, but it's not the greatest uni at the end of the day.
Right.
It's like, you know, a little bit dangerous. Everyone's like, me, honestly, if I can speak freely,
you can,
I was just going there to sell drugs, I'll be honest, bro. Like, sure. I'll go in there and everyone would just be like, yo, who's got XYZ? So I just figured out, why am I coming here to learn if I can make like money, you know what I'm saying? So I used to come, not even go to my lecture, just link people and be like, yo, who needs what? And then cut, not even go to my lecture. And I still passed my first year. I actually got my certificate for my first year because I did the work. I always do the work. That's the thing about me. I always do the work. Maybe not on like your timing or how you want it, but I'll definitely do the work.
Yeah.
So yeah, then in uni, I'm sitting at the back of a lecture one time and like, you know, the eureka moment. I was just sitting there and I used to like just write bars and just listen to music at the back. And then I just thought, bruv, all these rappers that are out right now and doing well, like, I'm better than all of them. Like, honestly, I'm better than every single one of them. Why am I here doing this? It doesn't make sense. And I just sat down. I'm like, nah, bro, forget all this. Like, I'm going to go like chase this. I'm actually going to chase this. And I left the lecture. All my life is like a movie. Like, I left the lecture, just blank, zoned out, just ignored everyone, walked out, went home. I told my mom, like, yo, I'm going to chase music. I can't bother for this anymore. This uni thing is not me. Like, I'm doing it for you, mom. I love you so much, but give me a little time period to try. And she said, look, I'm going to give you a year. I'll pay for you for the whole year. I'll look after you. If it doesn't work out in a year, I need you to go back to uni, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
And if you pass your first year, you can like put on hold, you know what I'm saying, and go do the rest. So I did that. And a couple months after that, everything just literally started taking off. Everything just fell into place.
So like, in that first year, was there like something that you needed to, like, it got to the end of that first year. Mm. What had happened in that first year for your mum to be like, I consider this a success?
She,
you're good.
You know what it was? I'll be honest with you. It was easier for us than it could have been, because I started getting bookings and stuff towards the end of that year period. And I came and I just showed her. I said, look, respectfully to my mum, she's amazing. She works really hard, but she wasn't getting paid enough for her work. And her mum's wages, I was getting per booking.
Right.
And I was telling her, look, like, I can do this now. I can actually do this. I'm going to give you rent. I'll sort the rent. You know what I'm saying? I'll buy the food, whatever, and let me just go make this music. She was like, yeah, cool. She's like, you did it. Do it, innit? Congrats. Do it. And that's it. And I started going. But the thing is, I've always been confident because of my mum.
Yeah.
Because she always said to me from when I was young, she was like, listen, if you decide you want to be Muslim, you want to be Hindu, if you think you're gay, if whatever, I'm going to love you the same way. I don't care. Like, whatever you do is irrelevant to me. I'm still going to love you. So that gave me like the core confidence to go do whatever I need to do. You know what I'm saying? Mm. It felt nice that I'm not going to be judged by the main person that I care about for whatever I do. So with that, I used to tell her everything, honestly, everything. Like, I used to, obviously it's not great, but it's the life that I was living. I used to go outside with a knife sometimes for my own protection. And I remember telling her one time, I was like, mom, I can't lie to you. Yeah, if you hear that I got stabbed or something, it's not for no reason. Like, I had a knife on me for sure. Like, it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Don't think that people are bullying me, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just the nicest kid. Cause I'm a good person, but like, I'm not a victim. I don't want to be a victim. Mm. So she knew all about me. So, but I made sure she knew that if someone comes to the door and accuses me of something that is not in my character, she knows that's not my son. You know what I'm saying? Cool. He caused a fight at a football game or whatever. Yeah, that I believe you, that's my son. Or, you know, he done something disrespectful to women, that's not my son. Like, you know what I'm saying? And sure, made sure she knew exactly who I am. So yeah, man, that's when I started taking music seriously. I remember I went to my grandma, I went to her house. She lives between here and Trinidad. So she came back to England for a little bit and I went to her house and my dad was just adamant that I have to tell her that I left uni. So I didn't think, I'll be honest with you, I didn't think it was any of her business. Like, I didn't really need to tell her, but it's cool to update her anyway. So I told her. She obviously wasn't happy because, you know, coming from a Caribbean background, you know, they just want you to finish uni and, you know, be a doctor, be a dentist, be a lawyer, whatever. So I told her, she just wasn't having it. And then I said, okay, look, and I showed her like my booking fee and I showed her that I got booked for like $1,500. She was like, $1,500 for what? And I'm like, for me to rap. And she's like, for who's listening to you? who wants to listen to you for a grand and a half? And I was like, trust me, people want to listen.
No, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Paid a grand and a half.
Exactly, it doesn't matter. And then she basically just said, yeah, like she accepted it after she saw the money, because it's very like, I don't want to say it like that, but with my like your, you know, sometimes your ethnic side of your family, you got to prove to them you're capable of making money, mm-hmm. because you know we need it, obviously. So if you're just doing this for fun, what's the point? Because you could be doing something, you know, of value.
Yeah.
So yeah, she understood after I showed her the money, and she was like, "Yeah, cool, like, go for it." She doesn't know the content of my lyrics, neither will I show her. But it is what it is.
Has she ever listened to a track?
My dad played her one song, and I was pissed at him. I was so pissed. I told him, "Why are you doing it?" Because I told him specifically, "Don't show grandma my music." My grandma on my dad's side from Trinidad and my nan on my mum's side from Wales have never heard my music, as in from me.
Yeah.
Because it's just not for them. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think they have listened to it on the sly and just not told
No,
you?
They're
you
just old. Think they have it, no idea. Okay, they really have no idea. Right. They've heard it now because my nan saw me when I was on Top of the Pops. Like every time I'm on Top of the Pops, which my nan loves Top of the Pops. So
sure.
Bless her, a little Welsh woman. Like I'll ring her and say, stick Top of the Pops on, and she'll watch it and really enjoy it, which is fine. I don't mind that, because that content as well, the songs I pick for Top of the Pops are not the songs that I don't want her to hear. So it's fine. Whereas like with my grandma, she's a bit more inquisitive. Like she'll dig, but she also respects boundaries. So if I tell her like chill, she'll chill, because she's got that kind of respect. But my dad went and played her a song like just out of nowhere, and I didn't like it. I'm not gonna lie. I told him, don't do that again.
Do you know what track it was?
I don't remember, but I didn't ask because I didn't even want to know. Yeah, I don't want to know what you heard. Just forget it. But
just forget this ever happened.
Exactly that.
Well, like back when you were like, you know, when you're going out of the house with a knife and stuff like that, and like you and your mum knows.
Yeah.
Like, how worried was she at that
Extremely.
Point? Yeah.
She hated it, of course. Like. I don't know, man. You know what it is? I see my mom cry so many times, yeah, that I eventually just got to the point where I was like, I'm just going to do everything I can to remove us from this area, because it's a catch-22. It's like, cool. I don't want to make you upset, but also I have to protect myself. If you're selling drugs, you cannot just walk around with no weapon, because someone's just going to rob you. Mm. And if you rob me, then I have nothing and I can't pay the rent. So it's just like a catch-22. There's nothing you could do. I had no choice, genuinely. It sounds, you know, when you explain to people like, that the kids today, they're like, oh, they just roll around with weapons, and they're not usually rolling around with a weapon to target someone. They're rolling around with a weapon in case someone targets them. That's what it's actually about.
Yeah.
And people don't really understand that. And it's like, they're like, why don't they get a normal job? I mean, like, have you tried applying for a job nowadays? It's impossible. You got kicked out of school and now you're trying to apply for a job. Why would we take you and this person over here has got an education?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's not an excuse for everyone. It's not a blanket excuse, but you know, growing up impoverished, it's hard. And for me, I never did anything I didn't have to do. And all my friends and family can attest to that. That's a fact. I never committed any crime or did anything that I didn't have to do. I only did things I needed to do to eat and to pay rent. And you know what I'm saying? I never did like something to get a Gucci belt, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Or something to buy a new sneakers or whatever. I never did that. I did stuff to pay for the rent and look after my mum, my little brother. And then the extras, obviously, I'll buy trainers or whatever. But like, I did it for a purpose. It wasn't just jugging. We call it jugging. Like, I'm not jugging for the sake of Gucci and stuff. I would never do that. God forbid. You know what I'm saying? That's ridiculous. And the reason why I'm really proud of myself is because I stopped at a time and I didn't ever get caught with any drugs on me or anything like that. So I just came back from New York. Like, I'm able to go to America and it's all good. Like, everything's, I got my visa, I'm good. But it could have been very different because a lot of the friends around me are not able to go to America. And I just thought about my future. I'm like, yo, I really want to go to America. I want to tour. I want to go to Australia. And I can't if I'm getting caught up in this stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, as soon as I didn't have to, I put all of that away and yeah, moved my mum out of the hood straight away. Before I even had a house on my own, I was like, my mum's the first priority. Got her the house. She would not leave, kicking and screaming. She did not want to leave Labrador by any means. She was staying. She's like, no, I'll disown all of you and I'll stay here on my own. And I was like, it's just mum, it's just not happening. It's just not happening. You
how
have
did,
to move.
How did you convince her?
She basically said, because she speaks a little bit of Spanish.
Right.
Because my name's Che after Che Guevara. Yep. She loves Cuba. We've been there loads of times. She learned Spanish off her own back. So she wanted to move to Spain. And I just said, you're not moving to Spain, mum. Like, me and my little brother, like, my little brother's not little. He's 3 years younger than me, but you're not moving to Spain. Like, we need you here. You know what I'm saying? You're not moving to Spain. And then she was like, cool. Can I just go there for a little bit? I said, no, there's no Spain in this equation. There's no Spain. You're going to move
Can I go there for a little bit? No. And then she just thought she would have come back.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, mum, don't try it. But anyway, she got over it and she was like, okay, cool. If I can stay in West, like near Labrador, then that'll be fine.
Yeah.
So yeah,
she compromised.
Yeah, she compromised. She's near West now. She's near Labrador, so it's fine. Cool. She's just not in the hood,
right.
is just the key thing. Because obviously, growing up, everyone knew where I live. We all went to each other's houses. All the local gang members, everything. Everyone knows where everyone lives. So I just didn't want my mum to ever be a target. Because if I'm a target, I can deal with it. Like, you know, if you kick the shit out of me, bruv, I'll live. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully, anyway. But yeah. I'll heal when I'll be good. I'm up for a fight. I don't mind. But my mum, if you target my mum, then I have to for literally throw my career away and go and do something I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather she's just out of the way and I can chill. Yeah. Which is how it is now. So it's good.
Your mum sounds extremely cool.
No, she's a legend, bro.
She's a jungle DJ.
Yes.
She names you after Che Guevara.
Yes.
And
with the purpose of not allowing me to be right wing.
Right, yeah. She's
like, if you've got your name Che Guevara, you can't.
That's it.
It's impossible.
You cannot be a Tory.
It's impossible. Yeah, exactly. she used to row. She used to do rowing. And she actually used to train with, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to misquote her, but she used to train with Team GB, or she was training for Team GB, something like that. She also, earlier than that, wanted to be a pilot. So she was studying to be a pilot. She used to drive a big Triumph. Like, she's just a G, to be honest.
She learned Spanish.
Yeah.
She wants to move to Spain.
Exactly. Has an NWA first edition. Like, yeah, she's just a G. But I like her because she's very accepting. Her job is, she's a youth worker.
Sure.
She spent her whole life helping, you know, black and impoverished kids in Brixton get jobs and turn their life around. Like, she wasn't paid that much for it. She just really wants to help people. That's just who she is. So yeah, great person.
Nice one.
Yeah, man.
She she must clearly be super proud of everything you've
100%.
Done.
100%. Super, but super proud.
I think one of the things that, you know, people seem to every now and then think like you must have signed a big record deal, right? That's the thing, isn't it?
They've been saying that for years.
That's the constant rumor around AJ Tracy. But I mean, you haven't.
No.
But like, does that, I can see why people think that just because
of
what you've done and like the videos you make and the way you do things. But the fact that you've done it all yourself is incredible. Has that always been like important to you to like keep it out? Because you must have had the offers and all of that sort of stuff.
Definitely had loads of offers, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? It fluctuates. Music is very fickle. You know what I'm saying? You can, like, I can't tell you how many times in my career I've been like going through a quiet period. Like, and most of the time it's funny because it's by choice. I'm not like just falling off. Like, I've just chosen to not make music. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's usually a conscious decision. Like, when Stormzy deletes his Instagram, no one's forced him to do that. He's just decided to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If Dave goes quiet for a little bit, he's decided to go quiet. It's what we do. But fans for some reason think, oh, he hasn't dropped a song in ages. He must have fell off. But if you go look at my monthly listen, it says 7 million. So, like, you know what I'm saying? But it's just people don't look up stuff. And if you look to research, you can see I'm not signed to anyone.
Yeah.
Like, I remember someone tweeted saying something like, AJ says he's independent, but it says ADA at the bottom of his thing. Yeah, ADA is distribution, bro. I've signed nothing. They're just distributing my music. Like, distribution is taking my
music. And you have to have that.
Yeah, you have to have distribution. You have, or you can't get your music out.
Yeah.
Because the DSPs don't deal with individuals. They deal with, you know, corporations and people and groups and people who have like a roster, for example. So I had to go through someone. And now, if you look with my last album, it says Revenge Records. That it's going through me now. The distribution as well is going through me and my manager. So there's no anyone anywhere now. It's just us, which is cool. But I always say this, I'm not against a record deal at all. I'm not against it. It's just no one's come forward and offered me anything of significance.
Yeah.
Like, I've had the massive money offers, but, you know, for example, if they offer me XYZ millions, I'll sign for that, but now I owe you that money. It's like,
And also, it's a debt.
And it's like, it's just an up forward lump sum because I would have made that money anyway, eventually. Mm. Maybe not as quick as right now, but I will get it eventually and I'll make more and have to give away less.
Yeah.
So if you're using your head and you do some simple maths, there's no point really, man. It's more about the support, I'll be honest. Like, a record label saying to me, if they said, look, AJ, we really want to sign you. We've wanted you for ages. This is the plan. We want to do this of you in America, this in Japan, this in Nigeria. You know what I'm saying? This is our plan. This is our step. This is our blueprint. And this is the team. This person specializes in this and they've done that. It's not that hard. If you came to me with a plan like that, I'll be swayed. I could be swayed.
Yeah.
But no one's ever done that. So it's not that. It's just money. It's just take this big lump sum of money and I'm good.
It's so rare, you know, like I think like that source of, you know, people talk about DIY music and DIY culture. And a lot of the time when they talk about that, they talk about kind of grunge bands and bands, you know, that sort of punk thing. Mm-hmm. And that definitely happens. There are definitely bands out there who are 100% DIY. Yeah. But I feel like, especially in like British hip hop, it's like on another level. Like, it's truly like the way that Boy Better Know set up and delivered all of that, like,
facts,
like early on, like that was so, and what you've done,
that's like the blueprint. What JME did, in my opinion, is the blueprint, to be honest. It's like that inspired a lot of like me, Zoo, Big Zoo, like a lot of us, inspired us to like go and be our own entity rather than like just going, hey, I'm talented, just let me sign here and you can do whatever the hell you want and force me to make music I don't want to make.
Yeah.
Which has just never been an angle, to be honest.
Yeah. When you were in the States recently, were you playing shows?
No shows. I was just chilling, actually. I went to see Murakami.
Oh, yeah,
actually,
yeah.
I had dinner with him, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, it was fire.
That's the exhibition at the Kogosian?
Yes, that's actually it. How do you know that?
So, like, I know things. That's the virtual one.
You know that. I'm impressed.
That's like a virtual one.
Mm-hmm.
But
virtual and real. It was a mix.
So to anyone listening that doesn't know, explain to me the setup, because this is an artist's exhibition. It's on Madison Avenue, right?
Yep.
And there's two buildings.
Yep.
And what you go in, is it there in real life?
So yeah, it's there in real life, but one half of it is like virtual, and on your phone you can, you know, see works of art, and it's like very interactive, immersive. And one side is physical. So they had two statues. I'm not going to go super nerdy art geek on you, but like,
sure.
There's like a classic one called Lonesome Cowboy that he made. There's like a rendition of that, like a chrome one, and there's a female one. And there's Artifact, who make Clone X, who are a group of guys who make NFTs and stuff. Their logo is like a lightning bolt. Nike acquired them. Right. So that's now a logo of Nike as well. And Takashi Murakami actually made two custom Murakami lightning bolts, like big, massive ones. One was for sale. Right. And I actually met the guy who bought it, and one is just for display in the gallery. But yeah, it was so sick. Like, it was really sick. I went there because it's so random how life works, bro. So basically, rest in peace, Virgil. I told Virgil, when he took me to a show in Paris one time, I was sitting with all these people that I really, really rate. I was sitting like one behind front row around like Gunnar, like Fug, like ASAP Mob, like loads of really sick people, yeah.
Hmm.
And I was just there chilling, like, bruv, what the hell? How am I here? Yeah.
I'm not even signed.
Yeah, literally. And Virgil's come up to me and he's just like, yo, bro, like, hope you're cool, you're comfortable, everything good. Like, really loving guy, like, genuinely just wants to help people, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, I was looking at the plethora of people that are there, like the variation of celebrity and how big they are. And I'm not just downplaying my thing, but honestly, I was one of the least known people in there. And like, he's come over to me and been like, yo, you good, you cool? Because that's how much he cares, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He knows these lot are good. But yeah, he's like, yo, you good? I'm like, yeah, cool. And then when I got up after the show, I was like saying, yo, congratulations, this show was fire, I love the new collection, blah, blah, blah. And then I see Murakami walk past, and I was like, oh, my days, Murakami, I'm a big fan. He's like, come, bro. He introduced me, like, Murakami doesn't speak great English.
Yeah.
But he was just like, yeah, like, basically, what do you do kind of thing? I explained what I do. And then he followed me on Instagram, which is fire. And obviously, I was already a massive fan, but now I'm like 10 times the fan. And then my friend, so then this is crazy as well. When I was like 21, 22, I'm 28 now, so a while ago, I was on a plane to like Mali or Ibiza. Actually, I think it was Ibiza. Look how the world works. I was actually going to Ibiza. And I was on a plane with one of my best mates, Etz. And Etz was like to me, he's like, bro, this guy got on the plane and he's like, look at this guy. He's like, look at his mask. And he had like a custom LV mask, you know, like way before COVID. People were like, he was like making masks, like custom, you know, like Mortal Kombat masks.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Out of like LV fabrics. And he pointed at him, he's like, bro, this guy, he's fire. Like the things he does, he makes that custom mask, custom trainers, sick stuff. You should hit him up because he knows I love that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And I don't know if it's male ego, pride, embarrassment, I don't know, but I didn't want to say to him as he's getting on the plane, yo, bro, like, let's connect. I didn't want to be that guy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's understandable.
Yeah, it's understandable.
I've got that kind of rule.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Don't,
you know,
don't bother.
Yeah, I don't mind speaking to you, but I don't want to like ambush you on the plane and be like, yo, like, you know what I'm saying? He was with his mates and stuff, so I just left it. But it's funny, I'm going to wrap background to what I just said there of me not wanting to approach him. Yeah? So I left it, but I DM'd him like a week later and I was like, yo, bro, saw you on the plane. And he's like, yeah, I saw you, bro. Da-da-da. And then I was like, cool, let's connect. And he started like sending me trainers and stuff and getting me involved with what he does. That is now one of the co-founders of Artifact, who makes the NFT, who collabed with Murakami. So he invited me out to New York. And it's crazy because he was living in Grove, obviously. So the whole, it's a really crazy like connection. But anyway, he said to me at dinner the other day, because he took me there. We're sitting at the table and he was like, bro, do you remember on the plane, like when I saw you? And I was like, oh, so you saw me on the plane? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, but I didn't want to ambush you on the plane. He said to me what I basically was thinking. And I was like, oh, bro, it's funny how the world works, bro. Because we could have just right then and there just shook hands and be like, yo, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. But yeah, it was sick, man. I was so sick. Like the room that I was in at dinner, it was Takashi's favorite restaurant in New York. And I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's underneath the Gagosian.
Right.
It's a sushi place.
Right.
It was fire. It was so nice. Genuinely not gassing. It was so good. And
You're a big food fan,
I'm a massive foodie, bro. Massive.
Because one of my favorite, like, one of the things I love about your music, and I love about all, like, British hip-hop especially, is, like, the references. Like, the little points, like, the little things that you... And and like the little London like kind of thing. You're like, I know what that is.
Yeah.
And one of them is in Jackpot, you shout out to Bob Ricard.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
And that's got to be the only song that restaurant that,
I had so many people saying, what is that? Like, what is that? But I'm just like, bro, if you know.
That restaurant is like, I took my mum there for her birthday.
Oh yeah, nice.
She doesn't want to eat anywhere else now.
It's so nice. It's so
that's
nice.
She wants that.
Like. And I've never had cuisine like that before as well.
Yeah.
So for me, it was different, right? Which was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the interior too. It's really nice.
Yeah. It's really like, how would you describe it to someone that's not been to that restaurant? This is a restaurant in Soho, we should explain.
Yeah. I don't know. I described it like, I said to one of my friends, it looks like a very fancy train carriage.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, that's basically what I said.
It's like being in, I always say it's like being on the Orient Express. What I imagine the Orient Express to be like, right?
Exactly. And nailed it. That's it on the head, bro.
That's the one, right? And there's, did you press the champagne button?
I did press the champagne button. I had to press the champagne button.
There's a button on every table says champagne and you press that. And they bring
I was amazed by that. Yeah, he took me, Posty, who runs GRM.
Oh, okay.
He took me for dinner and like, he said, yeah, press the button, bro. So I was like, ah, cool. If it's on you, if it's your treat, I'm going to press that button 10 times.
It's a really cool place. Nice. And then like, you also like, don't you also shout out to like, Novikov?
Yeah, Novikov. I've said a lot.
On the new record. That's on Anxious, right?
Yes, Anxious. Yeah. And in Little More Love, I'm talking about Stroganoff. The food references will never end, bro. I'll be honest. Food's one of my, food and football inspire me the most. I'll be honest.
They're your things.
They're my things, man. But this sushi restaurant was amazing, honestly.
Yeah.
And I sat down at the table and I sat down with this guy. He goes by Zaptio. That's like his online tag.
Okay.
So I sat down with this guy, Zap, and he was like talking to me. And then these two guys, I would say, if I had to guess how old they were, I'd say like mid-40s. They were quite young. For when you find out what they do, they're very young for what they do. So they were like, what'd you do? And I said, bro, I'm just here for the ride. You get me? Talk to this guy. And then I pointed at Zap. And they're like, what'd you do? Yeah, I've run Art Factory, da, 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 blah, blah, blah. Cool, they're chopping up. And then I said, what do you guys do? So the one to my left, he's in like kind of like a suit, like an open shirt suit, like just got off work vibes. He had two massive diamond rings on, and I know about jewelry, bro, and these rings are worth a lot.
Right.
Massive rings, yeah. So I was like, what'd you do? And he's like, oh, and he showed me the rings, and I looked at it, and it was, you know, the Bucks logo.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, you work with the Bucks? He's like, yeah, I own the Bucks. I was like, oh, okay. That's something else.
And he's like mid-40s.
He looked like mid-40s, yeah. But I could be, listen, if he's older than that and I'm just being complimentary, great.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he looked, honestly, to me, he looked like early 40s, genuinely, mid-early 40s. So then the guy next to him, I was like, so what'd you do? And he's like, and the Bucks guy started laughing. He's like, oh yeah, he owns the Nets. And I noticed he's wearing a Nets hat. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. Then I realized like who's in this room.
You're like,
Jeff Staple behind me, who owns Staple, you know, Pigeon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cool. So Staple behind me. Yoon Ambush was around somewhere. There's loads of cool people, really, really cool people. So I'm just in this mad room and I'm like just saying to everyone, like, but people coming up to me and saying, oh, AJ Tracy, like, well, go on, da-da-da. I'm like, this is mad that you not even know me. It's sick. It's sick that you not even know who I am. Like, sick. You know what I'm saying? And they're all saying, yo, because in the NFT space, I feel like a lot of rappers are just kind of, a company will pay them to use an NFT as their profile picture, but they don't care or know anything about NFTs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really like immersed in the space.
You up on it?
Yeah, I'm really up on it. So I feel like a lot of people just respect that I'm taking time to learn about it and get involved in it. So yeah, it was a really nice trip, man. Really, really nice trip. I took my girlfriend. She loved the exhibition. She got loads of little Murakami plushies and stuff, plushes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was cool, man. It was fire. It was really fun. It was really fun.
That's cool, man. And how do you find like when you're out there, you've played shows there though, right?
Yeah, yeah, loads.
When you, because some of those references are so niche, how does it translate in the States? Or do they just love like the Easter eggs in there? They're like trying to work out.
I think they love the Easter eggs, honestly. I think that's what it is. And for me, it's like in America, over the years, I've like gained more and more respect out there because I go there a lot. I don't just rap from the UK and send it over to America.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually there in New York. Like I'm there on the ground level with people outside. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think they respect that a lot. And when I went on tour, because I came off tour with Amine like a couple months ago, we was in New York for 2 nights and we killed it. Like Amine is an amazing performer and really grateful he had me on there because he could have took an American artist who's bigger than me in America.
Mm.
But he just, you know what I'm saying, threw me the alley-oop. So I was out there and in New York, I was walking to like stores and bodegas and like shopkeepers were recognizing me. People were stopping me in the street. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, how do you not know who I am? Like, obviously, don't get twisted. I know some people would know, but for it to be frequent enough that I'm walking around and people stopping me is crazy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because New York's a big place. There's a lot of people there. But then when I went this time again, even more people were like stopping me. So I was just very, very flattered, I'll be honest. Very grateful, man. But I dropped a freestyle when I was out there, which is doing really well
right
now.
I've seen that freestyle.
Yeah, it's on a Jersey Club beat.
Yeah.
And obviously Jersey Club out there, if you know about it, I'm saying, but it's really cool. It's really fire, the genre of music. I love it. It sounds a little bit similar to like Footwork.
Mm.
And yeah, man, I spit on that beat and people expected me to spit on a drill beat. So I think that just caught them off guard.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see a lot of people saying like, oh, this is the AJ we like, the old AJ Tracy, da da da. But the thing is like, there's no old AJ Tracy, because depending on where you found out about me is what you think the old AJ Tracy is.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone might have met me off the Butterflies and you think I'm a dancehall artist.
Mm.
You might have met me at Labrador, which a lot of people did, I'm sure. And you think I'm a garage artist, or you met me when I was on radio sets with, you know, Boy Beno and whatnot, and Stormzy and Zoo and all the man them. Maybe you know me as a grime artist. Who knows? If you knew me before that, if you did, which I doubt, but if you did, then you know me as a rapper, because I was rapping before that.
Yeah.
So it's whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's whatever. So I don't really take any of them comments too seriously, because I could ask like 5 different people from the comments, what genre did you find out about me listening to? And it'll be like, grime, rap, trap, like drill, like it could be anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't really take it that serious, bro. You got to give fans, my producer Nige told me this and it stuck with me forever. He said, before I made Pasta, he said, listen, don't give fans what they want, you have to give them what they need.
Yeah.
And I've stuck with that forever, because that's just such a fact. Before I'd done Labrador, people were like, we don't care about garage, why would we want a garage song? And now it's the highest selling garage song ever, ever, which is just mad. But like, you didn't want that before.
You need to get a plaque for that. You need to order that plaque.
I'll get it, man, eventually. I'll get it. If I do get it, I'm not ordering 10 of them. Like, my friends can F off, man. I'm not buying 10 of them.
No,
it's just so long. But yeah, honestly, man, with the music thing, I love being very fluid, and just the independency comes into that.
Yeah.
Because I can just make whatever I want.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Congratulations on Flu Game,
man. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
I love that it's named after that there's that reference to that game, that Michael Jordan game. Did you know about that game already?
Yeah, of course.
Before the documentary, I knew
The Last Dance, but yeah. I didn't know enough in depth about it before The Last Dance. But everyone knows that if you're a sneakerhead as well, there's like Flu Game sneakers and stuff. Like you'd know about the reference, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My dad was a massive Michael Jordan fan. He's just a black icon, isn't it? So
yeah.
It's just default for us to know about him, but I didn't know like in depth until the documentary, which
that
I love.
That documentary is incredible,
fire,
isn't it?
One of the best ever.
Yeah.
One of the best documentaries I've ever watched ever.
And I thought he comes across like, it's interesting. He comes across brilliant in it.
Yeah.
But you know, there's that bit where he gets a bit upset because the others are like saying that he was like, would shout at people and stuff.
Yes.
And he gets this little kind of human part
yeah,
of
exactly,
him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really nice, that bit.
You know what? I always say to people, I always say this to everyone, that my girl is a massive Beyonce fan, like diehard, massive diehard fan, yeah. So like she thinks she can do no wrong, you know what I'm saying? Like she just floats and just, you know what I'm saying? So I just told her that. I said, a lot of people think about me is they think that I'm very like hard-headed and like I don't like taking criticism and stuff, but the thing is, actually, it's not even about that. It's that for you to be at the top of your game, it requires a certain level of harshness. Like, you have to be cold sometimes, because you expending and giving out your energy and warmth to everyone, just you're not going to get anything. You're not going to achieve anything.
Mm.
So with people like, you know, Ronaldo, people say, oh, Ronaldo slapped the fan's phone out of his hand. Listen, I'm not condoning that at all. I definitely do not agree with that. Would I do that? Probably. I'm just being honest. That's just me being honest, you know, like Vieira, I'm sure you saw. Yeah. I would do that too. I'm not gonna lie.
I said that last night.
He walked for like 10 seconds and he's just ignoring the bruh. And then obviously you're a human, something snaps and he says, I'm gonna kick him.
Yeah.
I would kick him. I would have kicked him way before that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just me. But I'm just saying, you know, when people, celebrities do these things and people are like, oh, like you're a bad person because you snapped. Like they don't snap 99% of the time. But because you hold them to this high standard, when they do snap, it's the end of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just think with Jordan, like a lot of people say, you know, he was horrible to all the other players. He used to shout at everyone and all. Okay, I hear you, but think about how he is on himself as well. Mm. Like he's the same way with himself. Like he'll put himself through the gym every day for hours, grueling, training, you know what I'm saying, to make sure he's the best he could be. So, I mean, as long as there's one rule for everyone, that's my rule. As long as you're doing the same for everyone, it's fine,
in my
opinion, personally. So, yeah, man. But I love that documentary. I think he came across well, but it gave me an understanding as to like what it is to be a winner.
Yeah,
like at the top level,
like that there's that section in it where he talks about how he would kind of, he doesn't really explicitly talk about this, but the others will talk about it, how he would kind of create a beef with someone to give him that,
it'll drive him on,
give him that extra thing to win, like he's essentially tormenting himself to win. That's how much he wants to win. He's like,
that's a real thing, bro. Honestly,
he's kind of trolling himself to win.
That's a real thing. Think about it. Like, you know, even when you see, I don't know if you've noticed it, but people who pay attention to football can really see that. Like, you know, Haaland and Mbappe, they're kind of trying to force a rivalry. But like, it makes sense because without Messi, there's no Ronaldo. Without Ronaldo, there's no Messi. Yeah, you need someone to push you. And if they're competing, saying like, you know, they take little, not digs at each other, but they say little things to reference each other. You know, like someone might ask Mbappe, who's the best young player in the Champions League right now, and he's gonna say, oh, obviously me, there's no one close. But you know that Haaland said yesterday that it's him, and you know what I'm saying, there's obviously a little, but you need that, because then when you play, you're like, not only am I doing it for me, I'm actually doing it to batter my rival as well. Like, I've got a point to prove it. So you get extra glory with the extra tournament. It's extra glory, because then people are gonna be like, oh, on top of that, you done in Haaland, like da da da, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
everyone needs a nemesis.
You do,
right?
You have to have
everyone
a nemesis,
needs a nemesis. Talking of like sports documentaries,
have you seen
the Tottenham one?
Which one? The one that they're making about Arsenal right now, the Amazon thing?
No, the one that came out during lockdown.
Yes, I did watch
I
think, oh, with Mourinho and Dele.
I've not seen that one.
Yeah. You haven't seen it?
No, I've not seen it.
Oh, you got to watch it. It's great entertainment.
As
a neutral, you will love that.
Yeah, yeah. What are the big takeaways from it?
The big takeaways for me is that...
Was there anything you learned in there that you were like, I wasn't expecting that, and this has shown me something I didn't know?
Yeah, kind of. Not to be a football snob, yeah, but like, because I love Tottenham and they really get me involved with the club. I've been in like the tunnel at halftime, heard what they say to the ref. Like, I've heard everything. Mm. So I wasn't super shocked, but it was funny to me that like the way the manager speaks to the players shocked me a little bit. Like, obviously it's Mourinho. Mourinho is a different kind of manager and I love him personally.
Yeah.
Loads of people hate him. So like, don't kill me for that, but I love him. I think he's great. He's really passionate and he cares about what he does. He clearly loves football, which matters to me, because some managers don't love football. They're just there because they can manage. So when he was talking to like the team and he said, none of you played well. None of you were good enough. No, it's just no, I don't like it. Like, if you don't play better, then you can just go. I don't care about you. Like, for me, that's needed. I think that's needed personally. But everyone was like, that's so harsh. You can't say that to your players. But bro, it's like, you get paid so much money. Yeah.
That's the thing, right?
You get paid so much money to do this job. Surely you can't just walk around with your head down for 90 minutes. Like, these people travel, like you just said, you go all the way from Essex to Liverpool. Mm. Like, surely we didn't make this journey for you to put your head down for 90 minutes. Like, I traveled to Spain to watch Tottenham in the Champions League final and I was so gassed. I've never been so gassed in my life, because I didn't mind losing. I swear to God, I didn't mind losing, but also not in that fashion. Like, I wanted to lose, like, you know, we tried really hard.
Lose with honour.
Yeah, lose with honour. Yeah, bro, I can't lie to you. That's the one thing that I always say, like, as long as you're giving it your all, then it's all right. Honestly, genuinely, in everything. You give it your all, then it's whatever. No one can, you know, you can't have any regrets. Just don't have any regrets. You left it all out there on the pitch or in the booth or on stage or wherever. You're good. No one can comment on your thing. Like, and people can see when you care and you're trying.
Mm.
Like, when I come on stage and I'm soaking with sweat and like, I've performed loads of times ill, you know what I'm saying? I get allergic asthma sometimes. So like, I'm dying on stage. I'm not fit. And I come off and I'm dead. And I'm just quiet for 45 minutes sitting in my little green room, quiet. And people say like, you know, I'm saying, look, he's, there's steam coming off him. He gave it everything. Whereas some artists go out there and they're just here to collect the check. Mm. There's a backing track playing. They're not even spitting their bars. They're just like stabbing their lyrics. It's a shame. You know what I'm saying? It's just a shame. But yeah, man, my takeaway is definitely the way the manager spoke to the players. I've never seen anything like that. Never. I thought he'd be a bit softer. You know, like, man management is meant to be a key point in being a manager. You got to look after the players individually. Everyone's different. Everyone has different needs, of course. But he just blanket said, yeah, bam, all of you are whack. Man up, like, yeah, fair enough. It is what it is.
Man, I could talk to you all day, but I understand that, you know, time's getting on. It's the weekend. Is there anything you want to get in that we've not touched on?
Not really, man. I would just like to say, obviously, I hope people are considering things like Grenfell and it doesn't slip their mind that, not to take it super political, but that the government just don't really care about issues like that. It happened. Everyone knows what happened and they've just let whoever did it get away with it. And it's a bit of a shame, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't really set a good example for the rest of London. It's like saying, you know, if poor people live in this block, black and Muslim people, we're just going to let it happen. But I know if that was a rich, white, you know, expensive tower block, there'd be, well, they wouldn't even be cladding on the block for a start.
Yeah.
But yeah, just things like that. I just want to say, yeah, I hope everyone's attention is on things like Saturday. You know what I'm saying? Nice little football game for charity for Grenfell. And yeah, man, just spreading positivity, and mental health is a good thing to be aware of.
Yeah.
Checking on your friends. Just trying to cram in some nice points here.
This is good.
Yeah, man, that's about it. I'll be honest, that's it. And yeah, up the Spurs, man.
For previous episodes of Midnight Chat, simply search your podcast app. And don't forget to follow or subscribe in order to receive new episodes as they're published every week at midnight. For more information on the music magazine that makes this series, visit loudandquiet.com.
Anyway, good night.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.